You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
And save her. Let her believe it, get on her knees and pray her, then pray her, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when I turn right, but you turn all the way.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome to our show. We are so happy to be here today. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I welcome you. And I have a very warm welcome for our guest today. Would you please introduce yourself to us?
Hi, my name is Calista Cole, also known as Ray Berry Woman, my crow name.
I'm so happy you're here. What a beautiful name. How did you come to get the name Red Berry Woman?
I didn't have a really great birth mother in my life. Probably 11 years ago, I had a woman who did my transportation with one of the Native organizations out here in Washington, and we spent a lot of time together, and I was talking to her about my mom, and she said, well, I'll be your mom. So we had many years together, and then it was about 8 years ago, she said, I'm going to officially adopt, but I need you to, you have to give me 4 gifts, and one of them has to be a Pendleton blanket, and one of them has to be sweet grass, and then you get to come up with the other 2 gifts. It took me about a year to find the right blanket and the right gift, because this was a morning to me to be adopted, especially after being in foster care and not feeling really wanted or loved, so it meant a lot. And on my 40th birthday, she showed up to bring me a gift, and I asked her if I could give her gift, and she said, yes, but I'm not going to give you your name yet. And I said, okay. And so I had planned it out to where my children were going to give her and her partner gifts, and so I sent them out of the house first to give them their gifts, and then I gave my mom her gifts, and she said, okay, I'm going to give you your name now. And I said, okay. So she prayed, and she lit some sage, and she spoke crow in her prayer, and then she told me that my name was Red Berry Woman. She said, because in my dream, I saw a woman pointed to this one red berry still standing on, still left on a bush, after the wind and the storm had blown all the rest of the berries off. And she said, you have weathered the storms, and you've gone through so much, and you haven't let it ruin you, and so you have turned all the poison in your life into medicine. So you are a woman.
Oh, thank you for sharing that gorgeous and sacred story with us. I'm interested in this phrase, you turn the poison into medicine. What does that mean to you?
For me, it means that I take all the things that seem to bring us down and to destroy us. Now, I'm not a Christian now, but I used to be one, and there was talk about the devil would bring things to destroy you. And so I always consider those things in my life that were possibly meant to destroy me as things that were just meant to give me an experience and decide what I take from it. I know in my life has not been the greatest. I went through a lot of hardship as a child. There was a lot of early childhood trauma. There was, foster care. My mom was an active user of drugs and alcohol. We went to foster care. I've been a DV survivor. And then about 5 years ago, my son was, I'm a homicide survivor of my child. So
I'm sorry.
All these things in my life that I feel could have turned my life around into being somebody that I'm not now, but I feel very happy and confident with who I am because I've turned all those things into good medicine, and I share my story as much as I can with who I can to hopefully bring good medicine to their lives as well.
Mm-hmm. You certainly do. I think resilience is such a powerful term when we're talking about you, that you do take things that could have destroyed you and make them into good medicine. And I'm hoping that you'll help some of our friends right now to do the same. How do you do that? How do you take that poison and transform it into medicine?
For me, I do have a lot of... there's a lot of people in my life that have come across my path where I'm talking about these things in my life, and they always want to point to the goodness. Like, I remember one time I was at the park with my children. Uh-huh. It was shortly after my son left the land. That's how I refer to it. But he left the land.
Uh-huh.
And I was at the park with my children, and somebody had asked me how I was doing. It was a friend. And I said, I'm doing the best I can. And I can't remember what else I said, but his response was, well, you've got to live for your other four children. And instantly I thought, well, what do you think I'm doing right now? I'm at the park with them.
Yes.
And why I'm not.
Yes.
For them. So I've recognized that the reality is that I am doing these things, and so it's kind of, and I love people, and I know that they mean well, but it's kind of insensitive to point out the obvious, you gotta live for them. Well, that's exactly what I'm doing. So how I've turned my poison into medicine is I acknowledge it, and I stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday I was having a kind of a really rough day. I had to leave a position at my organization and go back to another position. I left this position that I loved so much, and I was helping some young adults, and I was just having a hard time with it because, for me, it's a part of grief, like we're grieving these things. And my partner said, well, you're going to be on a better sleep schedule. You're going to be home more, you're gonna do this, and I'm like, yeah, I know, but right now I just need to be where I'm at. Like, I need to sit with this, and that's how I feel like I've been able to turn that poison into medicine, is by acknowledging that it's there and understanding like how I need to navigate it and just not sit with it for too long, but sit with it and accept
it. I so much appreciate you sharing that with us, because people are going through some really hard times. I think all of us are on some level or another. The world is filled with wars and rumors of wars and pandemics and poverty and just all kinds of personal challenges and all. And your approach is so helpful, because toxic positivity, I think, can keep us from healing. Sometimes we'll say, cheer up, or just whatever. And I'm not sure that that's always the best way. My granddaddy used to say, if you're going through hell, don't stop and make pancakes. Keep going. Go on through. And I love your approach because of that. So what would you say directly? I'm going to hand you the mic, really, and just say, what would you say to someone right now? You can speak to our friends that are struggling, having a hard time, and inspire them.
I know that things can be really tough sometimes, and that is That is real. You have every right to acknowledge that it is hard and that it is difficult, and you have every right to feel like you want to give up. And that's okay. But sometimes we do need to remember, if we can, you know, that things are temporary. These moments can be temporary if we don't sit with them too long. I know I have this phrase that I would tell myself, the darkest hour is only 60 minutes. And I tell that, you know, the darkest hour is only 60 minutes, but I also acknowledge that that can last a lot longer than just 60 minutes. I had a moment in my life where things were really tough, and I didn't know if I was going to last. I didn't know if I was going to survive. It didn't feel temporary. It felt like my world had ended, and I was in my room, and in my bed, and I said, the longest hour is only 60 minutes, and I had to repeat that to myself over and over again for 6 days.
Oh, my.
It took 6 days of repeating this and feeling like it wasn't going to be temporary, that this was it. This was the worst thing that could possibly happen to me, and it probably was the worst thing that happened to me. But, and I know that a lot of times it's really hard to encourage people, especially those who don't have children, because I know the one thing that helped me were my children.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to say, if you can, find that one thing or that one person that brings you joy, that brings a smile to your face, and focus on them in your darkest hours. Focus mm-hmm. on the love that they have for you and the joy that they brought you and the good things. And if that happens to be someone who is someone who left the land, who lives in the sky world, then reflect on who they would want you to be right now.
Mm-hmm.
Reflect on the love that they had for you and why they had that love for you, because of who you are as a person, who you are as a human. Things are tough.
Mm-hmm.
Things are really tough, and that's okay to acknowledge it. It's okay to not be happy with it. It's okay to not be okay. And I feel like sometimes that phrase is overused, because once we get a catchphrase, we overuse it too much.
Mm-hmm.
And then it becomes redundant, and then we start rolling our eyes like, okay, you don't understand what that really means, but I don't use it that much. But it is mm-hmm. okay to not be okay. I have been not okay so many times.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I work with parents, and I work with young adults who are in those same positions sometimes, you know, and sometimes it can be really tough to be in those moments and say, you know, it's okay to not be okay, and, you know, this is temporary. Especially young adults, they're like, yeah, whatever. Like, you know, I know that I have come so far in my life that I look back on where I used to be and all those moments where I thought were only temporary. So, I mean, just know that not everything lasts forever. Like, life is about change and evolution. Even the $100 changes, the seasons change. Nothing stays the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can hold on to that, it's only temporary, and that the longest hour only lasts 60 minutes,
uh-huh.
Then hopefully you can find joy again. Maybe hopefully you can find a moment where you realize that the struggle has been temporary.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard being in it, though. It really is, because it doesn't feel temporary. It feels like it's lasting forever. And that's okay, too, to sit with that and acknowledge that. because that's real. Something else that I do is I write notes to myself sometimes. Like I have this, they have this whiteboard tape stuff. It's almost like wallpaper kind of, and like some on my door, my bedroom door. I'll write notes to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that helps if we can remind ourselves.
Yeah.
Like I said, we can't think about in the moment if we read it.
Wow. I'm really blessed by everything that you just said. I know I needed to hear it, and I think a lot of our friends are encouraged by hearing it, so thank you. And there's one other group of people in all of this, and that is our children. You know, I'm a mother, you're a mother, but I believe everybody has children. Everybody does, because all of our children are all of our children, so we all have children in our lives. And things are really hard. You know, sometimes when we're going through these tragedies and difficulties, well, our children are too. And so how, as parents, can we help our children with everything from the headlines in the world today to things that may be happening in our homes and families?
You know, one thing when it comes to my children, when it comes, and you're right, we have nieces, we have nephews, we have an impact on the next generation.
Absolutely.
100%, every single one of us. Someone who's a single child and doesn't have nieces and nephews or children, when you go into the grocery store, you have an impact on children that are in that environment. So we all have an impact on the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the way down to like when they walk by you and they say hi, if you respond to them, that's going to have an impact on their development. So always remembering that you're right, we do have an impact on them. For me, something that I remember and I reflect on is intergenerational trauma and epigenetics, and remembering that, like, my trauma, but because in my early years as a mom, I was a young mom, and I had a lot of trauma that nobody acknowledged, nobody addressed. And when I talk about my son, I talk about how my trauma ended up becoming his trauma. He was born into trauma. He already had trauma in his DNA. And then the way that I was parenting or navigating my survival mode as a parent and parenting out of parenting and trauma had an impact on him. And so reflecting on that, like just understanding that what in their development, the especially our indigenous youth and our youth of color, like they're born with that. And I think that, you know, I'm starting to reflect on our non-BIPOC youth are born with that stuff too.
Yes.
You know, let's be real, like born with the epigenetics and the intergenerational traumas of all of our ancestors, and reflecting on that and how we treat them, how we interact with them, how our trauma impacts them, remembering that, like, that question reminds me of that 60 days or that 60 minutes in the darkest hour. Like, after that 6 days, my younger son came in, and I had asked him how he was feeling. I said, how are you feeling? He's like, I'm sad. I said, I know you are, because, you know, he lost his brother.
Right.
And I had asked a question. I said, how do you feel seeing mommy sad? He said, really sad. And that's what snapped me out of it. And I realized that what I was going through was only adding to his pain. It wasn't helping his pain. And so knowing that we're the adults, we're the ones that have to know how to navigate our stuff, and know that our pain can become their pain while they're already in pain. It's how we help them, letting them know that it's okay. I had a moment with my daughter, my oldest daughter. She's 18 now. It was probably about a year and a half ago, where she broke the rules, and I was mad. And I was talking to her, and I was raising my voice because I was really mad. I was not my best self that day. And I looked at her, and I saw the pain in her eyes, and I think that that's important. Like, when we are upset with our children, we still have to see our children. Just see them as the human beings that they are, with the emotions that they have. And I looked at her face, and I just instantly got sad. And I said, I know you are hurt. I know you are disappointed as well, but we are going to get through this. And that was a moment of connection.
Yeah.
Recognizing that we were both hurt by her decision, and understanding that, like, she needed me in this moment. She needed me to teach her something.
Yes.
And I think that that's important, too, just knowing, like, they're growing, they're developing, they're learning. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to test the waters. They're going to push their limits. They're going to do things they don't even plan on doing, and that they're going to be shocked that they did too. They're just as disappointed in themselves as we are, and it's up to us as the parents and the adults, the aunties, the uncles, to teach them how to navigate these moments, because some of these moments could be their darkest hour.
You are a very brave and courageous person, and I thank you for sharing that courage with us. But you're also a cycle breaker, and so am I. And I think there's some of us who we are just doing something different. we saw that, and we realized, we'll do this instead. And so what does it mean to you to be a cycle breaker, to be parenting differently?
It means giving them the things that I didn't have. I instantly reflect on my oldest daughter and, you know, my younger ones too, but my daughter is the image of what all the work that I've done. Like, I vowed to be a cycle breaker. My aunt used to tell me, I lived with my dad when I was eight. And he lived with my grandfather, where my aunt lived as well. And she used to hug me. She used to hug me really tight and rub my back a little bit, and it felt really awkward. I just wouldn't let go. And she said, you were born a girl to break the cycle. And I didn't know what that meant. I had no idea what she was talking about. And so I feel like in some ways she prepared me to be a cycle breaker by instilling that in me every time she hugged me. So I navigated learning things. I didn't grow up with my culture, and my 18-year-old, she is the image of everything I wish I could be.
Aww.
She has embraced her culture so much that she is in tune with it. She has navigated being in different programs, and she's like, I just don't feel comfortable in this one. And I don't know why, because I love the land and I love the things. And I said, because you have become so attached to your indigenous side. That is your identity.
Yeah.
It's not that you dismiss your other side, because my children are Afro-Indigenous. I said, but it's because you have encompassed that and embraced that so much that that's a part of who you are as an Afro-Indigenous woman. So you know the spaces that you sit in when they are good medicine and when they're not so good medicine. And she told me in this conversation, she said, I'm so proud of you, Mom. You are living the life I wish I could have. I mean, that just hit me.
Wow.
I'm a single mom. I'm struggling. I'm working 7 days a week, and I'm out of time, but she's proud of me.
Yes.
And I'm so honored to have given her so much of myself through my healing that she never needed to heal from the things that she would have if I didn't do my healing.
Yes.
She is a jingle dress dancer. She jingle dress dance at Culture Day at her high school, all alone by herself.
Wow.
To show off her culture, to show off, you know, to show who she is, and I was so proud of her. Like, she embraces it so much. And my other children went to canoe journey this past year. Mm. And it's just to see them in culture, to see them with other indigenous people, to see them in community and embrace that as a part of who they are. They don't feel awkward. They don't feel out of place. They feel in place.
Yeah.
They feel like they belong, mm-hmm. which is something I did not have growing up. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in those spaces, I still feel awkward.
Mm-hmm.
But my healing has provided them the opportunity to never know what that feels like.
Right. Oh, well, I'm proud of you. And congratulations, because you are officially a cycle breaker in that you have placed your children and their children's children firmly in their culture and in their place. And that is a beautiful thing to do. That's a courageous thing to do. And so what advice would you give our friends who are listening who maybe do want to break some cycles in their lives and families?
One thing I would say, this is something that I give to all parents. I used to be in a parent group, and parents would say, you know, like, what? How did you stop yelling? Start. For being a cycle breaker for me, anyway. So I said, well, I've been to parenting classes since my oldest son was two.
Uh-huh.
And these parenting classes and these parenting groups, they give you the tools. They give you all the tools, but we don't get instructions. We don't get the directions.
Uh-huh.
I engaged in trauma therapy. That's what really gave me the instructions and the directions on how to navigate these tools. Because I had to understand that I'm yelling because I'm parenting out of fear.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Instead of sitting with my children and saying, you know, why were you doing this? You know,
uh-huh.
what can I do to help you? What can I do to support you? Navigating services. I come from an upbringing of, like, you are responsible for everything that you do. You have to figure it out. My oldest son, it was everything was on me, and I didn't know how to be a mom.
Right.
And so I parented out of fear, and that's a very common thing. And if anybody is parenting out of fear right now, it's not your fault.
Uh-huh.
It's not your fault, because we don't know what we don't know until we learn something different, but it's going to be up to us to decide if we want something different. And for me, that's what it was. I just decided one day, I am not happy with who I am. I saw people, you know, on TV and in movies, they're happy and they're living this life and they're being these people, and I don't know how to be that person. And I had to navigate that. I had to decide who I wanted to be in this world, and a part of that was engaging in that trauma therapy, addressing the trauma, addressing the early childhood trauma, unpacking all the things that happened to me, re-breaking those bones that I didn't want to re-break. That was hell.
Yeah.
Well, it took me a whole year after engaging in trauma therapy before I felt like I was okay.
Uh-huh.
It was not easy, but it was absolutely worth it. Did I learn so much about myself?
Uh-huh.
I started to understand my parents knew what they knew. And they didn't know anything different, and so I was able to, you know, navigate that and kind of offer some forgiveness from my perspective. Not that I was able to, you know, have a relationship with them, because they are who they are, you know, but for me, I was able uh-huh. to let go of those parts of my parents that I was given.
Uh-huh.
See that I can be somebody different. I can be the mom that my children need and deserve.
Uh-huh.
I was, you know, I don't know how many other people have been in, like, the doctor's offices where you got to fill out those surveys and about, you know, your parents and your grandparents and the alcohol and drug use and things like that. And then you're told, well, because you come from this, you're going to beat it.
Right.
You know, and I was told most of my teenage years I was going to be an alcoholic. I was going to be a drug addict. My kids were going to be in foster care.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 42. My only addiction is coffee with me. You know, so regardless of what society believes we're going to become, we can become something different. And I think that that ideology, it comes from a lot of the colonization, is that if you come from this, especially people of color, it's like it puts a stigma on you. It's almost like the way they want us to believe. They want us to believe that we are not going to be anything. They want us to believe we're not going to amount to anything because we come from this. And so it's a prejudgment of who we're going to become. We start picking up on those things. And so part of my work, I worked in a shelter up until Friday. I worked in a young adult shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And my coworker did not want me to leave. He kept saying, you're not leaving. And then when it was time for me to go, he said, you're really leaving, huh? And I said, yeah, I have to. He said, you're the only one that can handle these youth. And he named off a couple of the young adults that I'm able to work with. And then it makes it so difficult. And so one of the young adults had reached out to me, and he was like, I might be getting housing, and he's struggling with that. And I'm like, it's okay if you don't take it. You can decide where your journey goes and your life. And because I don't want to put that. You have to be grateful for what you get. You have to accept the bare minimum. You have to do this. You're going to do this, because I don't believe in putting that on people. We should be having the room to decide where we're going to go and what we're going to do with our lives. When it comes to the homeless especially, we believe that, if we give them the bare minimum, they're going to take it because they just got to be grateful. And that is the wrong mindset to have.
Yeah. I really appreciate you saying that, because I think your wonderful outlook is going to influence so many people to see these kinds of things differently. I also remember one time I was telling my granddaddy about something, and he listened, as always. And I said, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to do that. And he said, well, somebody has to go first. And I see you as a person that's going first. You're breaking a trail. You're helping other people that they can follow your example. They can follow in your path, and they'll find their own way, and they'll have their own journey. But somebody went first, and they can look to you and see you going first.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Hey, wait a minute. They told us we had it all, Jordan. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of all.
I'm Rhett.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drama over here. It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about it.
I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing, because I can't hear it and dogs are supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that after 75 years... Smokey's Only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when it's dry or windy. Be careful burning yard waste, because wildfires can even start in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911.
911. What is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hey, I'm Haley Kiyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are. But I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road, but I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see.
D-E-P-R.
Mental illness doesn't show up on a scale.
Bipolar?
Sorting out a mental health concern takes professional diagnosis and treatment.
Anxiety. I thought so.
If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, don't go it alone. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support.
Meet Norm. He lives with anxiety. But with the help of this latest innovation from Be Normal, he can be normal, just like everyone else. With the swipe of a finger, you can project happiness, confidence, machismo. Why settle for being real when you can be normal? The Normal Maker. New from Be Normal.
This item doesn't really work because there's no such thing as normal. We're all different. What we like, how our brains work. In fact, 1 in 5 of us live with mental illness. Don't filter who you are. Start by talking to someone you trust. And remember, there is no normal.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
So what do you want for your children? What do you really want in your heart of hearts for them?
I want them to be happy with who they are. At the end of the day, I'm proud of them for who they are. I want them to be good human beings and good relatives and just to be happy with who they are. I don't want them to feel like they have the pressure of what other people think they should be. Like, my oldest daughter, she used to tell me, like, they keep asking me what I want to be when I grow up, and I don't know. And I said, you know what, that's okay. Even that is a like, from my perspective, that's like a colonized thing. Like, we put this pressure on our children. They're children. They're children. Let them grow up. It's okay if they don't know what they want to be until they're 21, 25. It's okay.
Yeah.
You know, and so I would tell her, it's okay if you don't know what you want to be. That's fine. You know, and throughout the year, she's changed her mind so many times.
Sure.
About, you know, what she wants to do, and that's okay. And so it's, I just want them to be happy with who they are. I want them to be successful. I want them to continue to break cycles. And I just want them, I want them to always be a part of my life no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. When you look at, well, the world we live in right now, you know, it's very challenging for a lot of people. And so what can all of us do to help one another?
Meet people where they're at. I think if we see people for who they are as humans, you know, there's been these conversations about how... and this is something that's been on my mind because I'm still trying to navigate things. I'm working on developing an LLC so I can do some trainings, and I've got trainings in mind that I'm working on. So this is on my mind. Looking at people as human beings. You know, I know that it is so easy to see their symptoms. It's so easy to look at a homeless person and say they're homeless, that they're you know, they're this, they're that, they're dirty, they're unclean, or, you know, someone who is an active user, or someone who's struggling with mental health, to look at them as their symptoms and their struggles. Look at them as who they are. They're a human being.
Mm-hmm.
See person first. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've gotten a lot of young adults who say, you know, you're so nice to me. And I'm like, of course. I had
mm-hmm.
one person who came in and he had just gotten high. And just, you know, I was doing a check-in, and he said, thank you for being patient with me. I said, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to practice patience and kindness. And some of us don't have patience. Some of us don't have kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because of this person in front of us or around us. It's because of us. We're the ones that don't have the patience. We're
mm-hmm.
the ones that don't have the kindness.
Mm-hmm.
We're the ones that are choosing that as
mm-hmm.
human beings. And so it's going to be up to us. And I don't expect everybody to just go pick up some patience and kindness right now. There are people in the world that
mm-hmm.
are going to choose to continue to be unkind and impatient. But that's their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's not for us to take on.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be up to us to decide, you know, do we want to create a better world for our young, you know, our youth. One person, a very dear, beloved friend who passed away a few years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Said one day, he said, this is the world we've given them.
Mm-hmm.
This is the world we've given our youth.
Mm-hmm.
And that hit me really hard because this is, you know, as the adults, we have a responsibility to them, whether they're ours biologically or not. And
mm-hmm.
so, like I said, we're in the grocery store, and that little baby, you know, says hi and waves. You say hi and you wave back.
Yes.
They're
yes.
messing with you.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Their brains are developing that moment. And they might not remember you in 20 years, but how you respond is going to have an impact on them and who they become in 20 years. All things are connected.
Yeah,
I think we tend to forget that.
Oh, thank you for that reminder. I think that's something we can all do also. We can all be encouraging. We can all be, you know, I know we're all overwhelmed, but that we can do. We can be encouraging, and we can do exactly what you're saying. I love your outlook and your attitude toward all of this, and it's so wonderful. Do you think, what do you see? Do you have dreams and hopes for yourself? You're a wonderful parent. You're a wonderful community leader. What do you want for you?
What I want for me? Like, honestly, that's something I've been thinking about for the past 2 days, because one of the reasons I had to leave this shelter, I was a lead case manager. I was in leadership
mm-hmm.
In that position. Unfortunately, I had to leave because at the end of the day, I just couldn't afford to work there no more.
Mm-hmm.
It's 45 minutes from my home.
Mm-hmm.
So the driving, and I have a big vehicle, and I can't, you know, because I've got children. To have a big vehicle, and this is where that imposter syndrome comes in. It's like, well, if you didn't have such a big car, you could afford to work there. It's like, I did this to myself, but I deserve this as well. Like, I'm reframing that. I deserve my car. I love my car.
Mm-hmm.
What I want for myself is I want to live, and I want a house that's big enough to fit me and my children.
Mm-hmm.
I want a home where I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
In that space, and I'm currently struggling right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'll admit that. Like, we live in a really tiny house, and I'm barely making it. I work two jobs, and I'm frustrated
mm-hmm.
because I'm in that darkness right now. I'm in that. It's so
mm-hmm.
temporary. You know, it's not gonna last forever, and so that's where I'm getting frustrated, and I'm trying to navigate. Where do I want to be in my life? Like, what do I want, and how I'm gonna get there? And so, I'm practicing what I preach. I promise you that.
Yes,
but that's the only way I'm going to get out of this.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to see is I want to have my LLC.
Mm-hmm.
I have three trainings that I'm working on. One One is a parenting and trauma training. I want to do classes for parents where we address and acknowledge trauma and how it impacts our youth.
Please.
We have all these childhood development trainings and all these things geared towards the trainings. We don't have enough of that to gear towards the parents and how we can see the parents. And so I'm working on that. I'm working on a leadership training to teach leaders how to be better leaders for their staff and for their programs. Like, I put in my two weeks ago, and my manager hasn't really said much of anything to me. I feel like she's avoided me. And that hurts me, because I'm like, I can still come and cover some shit when you're short-staffed, but she has not responded to me, and that really bothers me. And so that's not great leadership, in my opinion. I want to do a leadership training where we acknowledge, like, when sexual harassment comes up in the workplace. Like, how do we address that with our staff? How do we check in with our staff? You know, how we navigate these things. And then the other training is about houselessness to house. And that training is about how we navigate treating and addressing those who are houseless in shelters and homeless, who are working on getting into more stable housing and permanent housing. Like, I've already named that one. I'm working on developing these trainings and having an LLC. I just want to be successful. I want to be successful for myself and my children. I don't want to have to struggle no more.
Yeah.
I want to be able to take my kids out to dinner when they say we're hungry. I forgot to take something out the freezer. I want to be able to afford to be spontaneous again. And I was there for a short period of time, probably in the beginning of this year. But I think that's probably because I had money in my savings and I had my taxes. So. But that felt good to feel stable, like I didn't have to worry about bills and things like that. So,
yes. Well, we want that for you. We want all your dreams to come true. I don't want you to struggle. I want all your dreams to come true. And so right now, I want folks to help you. You know, we have a wide reach, all 50 states, 160 countries. We want people to help you. If there's a Cash App, or a Venmo, or PayPal, or whatever, that someone can send you a donation or help you, you're free to give it. If you want to share your email or contact information so that people might be able to hire you for consulting or training or somehow be a blessing to you, no scammers, I mean that. But only nice people listen to this show. But I really, right now, this is your moment. If you want to, if you want folks to help you, let them know how.
Okay. I do have a PayPal, or not a PayPal, but a Cash App. It's LOV as in Valley, EYETTE. My Cash App tag. I think that's what it's called. I don't use Cash App that often. That's LOV as in Valley, LOVE. I'm not looking at it, so I'm getting mixed up. Okay, I'll start over. LOVEYETTE. And then my email address, or I'm also on Facebook.
Okay.
Just Clista Cole. I do have an email address honestly, the best way to reach out to me would be over Facebook, and I can get the email address because it's on my other phone where I don't know where that's at. One of my kids probably have it. It's a newer email that I created for this purpose, and I clearly was not prepared.
Wow.
You have the Facebook.
Well, that's perfect. Facebook, anyone has Facebook. Most of the planet has Facebook, so they can find you and spell your name for them on Facebook.
Yeah, it's C L Y S as in Sam, T as in Tom, A. Last name Cole, C O L E.
Okay. People might want to collaborate, donate, help you, be a blessing to you in some way. My grandmother used to say that there's not enough of us to win a war by ourselves. Allies matter. And he was a World War II D-Day veteran. And so that was always his thing, that when we saw somebody doing good, we needed to get in there and help them do it. And so I want to just make that to all of our friends, that this is a person that if you want to share with them or help them in any way, Glista Cole is good ground to sow seeds into. And you will reap a great harvest of good things in people's lives as a result of the work that you do. What do you want us to know about you that we don't already know?
No, geez, I feel like I've said so much. I guess I don't know, because I would say that you already know that, but just over the past week, I've heard so many things from my coworkers and from the young adults I've worked with that I've been an asset. I think knowing that I was missed by my coworkers was really touching. I don't know. You know I'm a cycle breaker. You know I'm resilient. You know I turn poison into medicine.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty good mom.
You are a good mom.
And I know that I'm imperfect. Like, I make mistakes and I fall short some days. I have my bad days.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make that clear. Like,
yeah.
I'm in my temper right now.
Yeah.
And I think...
Yeah.
Being able to talk and be here with you all today, that is how I turn my poison into medicine. Having opportunities to be able to share helps us to get out of the temporary, because otherwise we can be sucked into it too.
Yes, get stuck.
So I'm honored and grateful to be able to turn my moment that I'm in right now into medicine for you all, so that I'm so grateful for.
Well, one thing, we're grateful for you too, and there's something that you just said that makes me want to ask you about forgiveness, unforgiveness, bitterness, when something so many tragic things have happened, and, you know, part of changing poison into medicine is being able to cope with those things and keep going. What do you say about forgiveness and bitterness?
Those aren't really things that I've really thought too much about. Because I think the way that I navigate things is I just kind of take a step back and understand it wasn't personal.
Yeah, okay, that's good. That's helpful.
This is where that person is at. This is what they know. This is what they know to do.
Uh-huh.
I've had people have conversations with me about the young man who and I don't even want to say it that way, that
his
wife, but it's not, like, I'm still trying to find a better term for that, because, well, yeah, it was awful and it was horrible. I also know that this was a young man who did what he knew to do. That's how I take it. And it's not personal. He doesn't know me. He didn't do it to hurt me. I assume he was afraid of what could have happened to him. If, you know, I mean, my brain goes into different directions, but that's a whole different conversation. But yeah, it's just understanding that it's not personal, and this is just something that happened. You know, this was an experience. This was an opportunity for me to learn something.
that's amazing. I mean, I really appreciate you sharing that with us. Thank you, because that's so helpful. It really is. And with the few moments that we have left, what I want to do again is give you the mic, and I'd like you to speak directly to the parents. Parents raising children right now, especially those of us who have little, tiny children. We're at the beginning of the journey, right? Will you help us out before we go?
Yeah. Enjoy those moments. Enjoy the moments with your baby. Those dishes are going to be there. The laundry is going to need to be folded all the time. Like, that never stops.
Yeah, right.
My youngest is 9. That stuff has not stopped, and the dishes don't stop getting dirty. So spend the moments that you can with your children, especially when you're having an off day or you're in your temporary and it's the darkest hour. Just spend time with them. Just sit down and talk to them and play with them. Like, that's something that I did, because I used to believe, like, the dishes need to get done now, the laundry needs to get done now. I'm having a rough time. I can't focus. It's overwhelming. And then one of my twins, when they were little, they would bring me a toy, and I'm like, okay, let's play. You know, disassociate from the house chores and just be in the moment with my babies. And I think that is the greatest thing that we can do for ourselves and the greatest thing that we can do for them. And just shut all the dishes and the chores and the laundry and the stresses and the overwhelming moments to the side, because they're always going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Our children are not always going to be little. They're not always going to be here with us. And so if we want them to grow up and be successful and do better than us and be better than us and, you know, I don't know, maybe come back home and take care of us because they've been so successful.
Yeah.
We have to be able to spend those moments with them. If you bake cookies, bake some cookies with them. If they like to draw, sit down and draw with them. Watch a movie with them. Just be in that moment with them. Those are things that have helped me in my really rough days. Just being in the moment with them. Like last night, we watched Better Days than Dogs. We haven't been watching it because it's the last season. We don't want it to be over. But I realized because my work schedule and everything, I haven't spent time with them too much. So I needed them. And I know they needed me, and so I was like, let's just watch this. Like, and I had so much to do still at home, but just those moments with them are going to be the most important and valuable things you can do. They're not going to remember the dishes and the laundry you had to fold. Just give them those moments, that love, that connection, social and emotionally and spiritually. They're going to remember that connection.
Mm. How beyond beautiful. Thank you so much for spending this time with us today and for everything you shared from your very generous spirit.
Thank you for having me. It is an honor and a pleasure to always be with you.
Oh, how wonderful. We feel the same way. And thank you for all of us, from all of us to all of you who listen, who make time for us, and pay attention to us, and even help us. We have a miracle just about every month to stay on the air, and it's because of all of you. And so thank you so much for sharing this time with us. Thank you to our guest. And I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I can't wait till we're all together again. And I'll see you then.
You come and save her. Better believe it. Get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you. Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees.
they pray hard, they pray hard, and never look back once the world forgets.
You've got the power, the world's greatest radio, talktainmentradio.com.